Welcome to Firm Foundation. In these times of shifting standards and faulty foundations, there is a solid place on which to build a victorious life. And that place is the Firm Foundation of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Your host for Firm Foundation is Brian Hudson, a Bible teacher, pastor, author, and producer of Life Enriching Media.
All right, our title today is Eyes on the Prize. Say, Eyes on the Prize. Subtopic is maintaining focus in distracting times. That's a word, amen, for today. Now, Eyes on a Prize, you may remember, is a title from a remarkable Black History miniseries from many years ago. I'm not talking about that today, but the phrase fits for what we're going to share today from a kingdom perspective. Again, eyes on the prize. Say this, my eyes are on the prize. Lord, help me maintain focus in these distracting times. Amen to that. All right, going right to our text for today, Philippians 3. And this text has many applications. I preach from this text often. And I want to share this again. There's so much here to receive and to allow the Lord to use in our lives. If you can see the screen, read with me. Philippians 3, verse 12, the Apostle Paul wrote, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus also lay hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." We get our text from verse 14, eyes on the prize. We're pressing upward, King James says, for the upward call, the high call of God in Christ. I want us to also appreciate that God has made everything available to us that we need. Say, God has made available to me everything I need. He may do it by His Spirit, but He often does it through people, even through systems, even through hardships. God has a way of helping us and getting to us what we need. And I've learned that God uses the most unusual things, the most unexpected sources, even people from which I didn't expect to receive anything. And so God just has this way of helping us trust Him. What you don't want to do is tell God how it's going to work. Don't suggest to God what He should do. That'll make God do the opposite thing, just to show you. You know, sometimes people want to tell you what to do and you don't do it because, you know, let me decide, make up my own mind, right? So God's like this. I always tell you, God has this problem. He thinks He's God. Not really a problem, but we have a problem sometime in that we don't wait on Him. We don't really listen to God. We don't really pay attention and then wonder what's going on. So the Apostle Paul in this text is giving us, I believe, a framework for how we can maintain focus on the prize and how that we can deal with and navigate around distracting times. Amen. Now, let's go to our points, first points for today. Why do we need this word, this message today? Well, first of all, your purpose and potential unfolds when you're able to avoid distractions and maintain focus on God, people, and important things. Now, a big part of the message today is affirmations. We'll make three affirmations as we get down to that, but let me have you say after me again, affirmations help you to lock in to the topic, help you to internalize it. So say this, say, my purpose and my potential unfolds when I'm able to avoid distractions and maintain focus on God, people, and important things. It is also essential to train your mind and develop a mindset to victoriously deal with circumstances. Your mind can be trained. Bible says, renew your mind. Proverbs says, it says, guard your mind, for out of it flow the issues of life. Guard your heart, it says. And so even though, you know, we have the ability to think about anything, I could say to you right now, I could say to you, okay, imagine a pink buffalo. And you see a pink buffalo in your mind. Imagine a green sky. You can see that too. The mind is amazing. The mind can see almost anything. That's why I had to be trained. Because this world is in the business of trying to put your mind on something they want your mind on. Amen. That's the purpose of advertising, marketing, you know, social media influencers, all that stuff. They all trying to get you to put your mind on something. But I got this thing. My mind is only going where I want it to go. Or where God wants it to go. You know, I still haven't seen the video of Will Smith slapping Chris Rock. Only person in the whole world hadn't seen it is me. But I decided I don't care. Friends are sending me clips. I just delete it. Now, you know, I couldn't avoid everything. I did see a photograph with a hand like this. I saw this much. You know what I'm saying? But the point that I'm saying is, ain't no big deal. I'm just saying, though, I've trained my mind like that. I ain't looking at nothing I don't want to see. My mind needs to focus on things that are important. Listen, y'all, and the older you get, the more essential that is. Even when you're young, you can drive yourself, listen, y'all, you can make yourself crazy trying to think about all these things folks saying you should think about. I'm going to give you a tip. Start early. All right. Curating. You know, curation is a museum term. Museums have a whole lot of stuff. They only show you some of it. They curate and they put out on display, on exhibit, just some things they want to focus on. Amen. So curate, say, Lord, help me. Curate my thinking. All right. Now, listen, y'all. When you're doing this, don't be rude to people. Don't just shut them down, shut them off, you know. Act like you're listening, you know what I'm saying? Well, listen, but when they go foolish, act like you're listening. Because don't, listen, y'all, the old saying was back in the day, he used to say, look at this here, what do you see? A head. And it's not a trash can. It's not a garbage can. You can't just dump stuff on me. Amen? So then you cultivate that in your own lifestyle without being rude and all that. You just have to, as the Bible says, as a proverb says, guard your heart. Your heart's more important than all this stuff in the world going around. Your heart, your mind, your mental wellness is more important than things folk want to dump on you. So train your mind, develop a mindset to victoriously deal with circumstances. Third point here, slide here again. All right, here's an obvious point, but life and the world are not going to stop for us to catch up. You know, you're going through things and things are happening. You can't say, okay, all right, stop. Life, stop. Everything, stop. I got to get caught up. I got to get up to speed here. No, the world and life won't wait for you to catch up. Now, what is important to do is in the course of your life, you got to carve out that rest time. Carve out that time when you have time off, days off, hours off, whatever it is, you have to structure your life so that you're not dealing with one thing after another. Leave some space in there. Leave some space so when things come up, you can handle it. You have time for it. Even though we don't want interruptions and distractions, things happen. So organize your life so that you have time to deal with things that are urgent and important when they come up. But if we're all, you know, if we're like, you know, in the end, candle burning at both ends. That's the old phrase, right? Imagine that again in your mind. Imagine a candle burning at both ends. What's going to happen to it? It's going to burn all the way down to the middle and nothing going to be left. Amen, somebody? So we don't want to do that, do we? Oh, I'm young, I'm strong. Yeah, uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been there, done that, got all the t-shirts. It doesn't work. What's going to happen is, be like what the psalmist said, he maketh me lie down in green pastures. Because you wouldn't do it on your own. He's going to make you lie down in green. He's going to make you lie down in green pastures. I mean, thank God it's green pasture. He's going to make you stop and lie down and recognize, you know, what you're doing is unsustainable. I mean, the thing is not can we do something? It is it sustainable? These are important issues, because eyes on the prize is not a phrase for today. It is a life statement. I want to have my eyes on the prize and keep pursuing for as long as God gives me life, the things he told me to pursue, and not be distracted from it. All right. Now, distraction is a dis-ease. Last time I spoke, we spoke about how discouragement is a dis-ease. Well, distraction is a dis-ease. Here's a stat I found, a workplace stat. It says 98% of the workforce say they are interrupted at least 3 to 4 times a day. It takes 23 minutes to fully recover focus after a distraction. Sounds about right. Y'all experience that sometime? Get distracted, and you try to get back to work, take some time to get back to it, doesn't it? Again, that's just in the workplace. I mean, all of life, we experience this. We don't think about it, how much time we actually lose getting distracted and trying to get back on focus again, get back on task. So it makes it important for us to consider what distraction is. So the word, again, dis-ease is a word, I say disease. Now, I'm not saying disease like real diseases, but a dis-ease. A disease is a disorder of structure producing specific signs or symptoms that affect normal functioning. So when you get all distracted, you don't function normally because you're off task. You lose sight of something. The fight to get back to it. That's a dis-ease. It's a particular quality, habit, or disposition regarded as adversely affecting a person or group of people. Okay, that's the disease definition, but again, dis-ease is my topic today. Here's a graphic. Again, distractions in the workplace. It says, here's some distractions they identify in this survey. 41% internet is a distraction. Amen, somebody. And that includes social media and all the rest. Emails, 26%. Phone calls, 55%. Phone calls and text messages, 55%. Co-workers, folk you work with, they distracting you, 27%. I mean, the co-workers who aren't on purpose, who aren't on point, they're actually in the way, you know what I'm saying? So it's interesting that, again, workplace survey, but other distractions I'll suggest to you is notifications, right? On the phone. Everybody wants to notify you. It's ridiculous. Everything, everyone. And if you let them, if you say yes to all that, that thing will beep and buzz and vibrate all day long, nonstop. So obviously, you know, what you do is, you know this, when you get a phone, first thing you do, turn all notifications off. Turn them all off. And then decide which ones to turn on that you really need. So that's obviously, I mean, even as I'm talking about believers, I'm talking about serving God, these things interrupt you serving God. Not just interfering with your work. A lot of this stuff interferes with your spiritual walk. Stray thoughts. That's a big one, amen. Stray thoughts, weird thoughts, all kind of thoughts. Fiery darts. Ephesians 6:16 says, in all circumstances, Paul said, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the devil. Now, what is a flaming dart? Well, imagine, maybe you've seen in movies portrayals of sieges against castles where they'll have this thing called a trebuchet, which hurls stones at the wall, okay? Then you see people with arrows with fire on the tip of the arrow, and they shoot the arrows, and the arrow will fly. And of course, these things are made of wood, well, stone and wood, and so it hits the wood and sets the wood on fire. That's more what fiery darts like. It's something on fire that is sent to set you on fire. And the Bible says, from the evil one. Now listen, y'all, I don't always talk about the devil this, devil that, devil that, but devil is doing this though. Devil, he is doing some stuff. Now, let me be clear about this. The devil isn't doing everything. You doing most of it to yourself. Let's just stipulate. Devil, get behind me. You get behind you. like Earl Johnson said, I told you the story many times, but he encountered somebody, praying for somebody demon possessed. And they kept saying, come out, devil, come out. He said, devil, loose him and let him go. Nothing happened. Hour after hour, there was nothing going on. And Earl realized, no, here's the problem. Tell the person to loose that demon and let it go. Right? They saying, devil, loose him. No, he want that demon. Tell that person, you loose the demon and let him go. Y'all get that?
Yeah.
Big difference.
Amen.
Big difference. Folk trying to get the devil off of you, off of them, and they want the devil. They want the devil they got. Oh. Talking about, come out, devil. They don't want him to go. The fact is, if you don't want something, it's going to leave you. Remember Lot's wife? Lot's wife, they were running from Sodom and Gomorrah. God said, leave this place. I'm going to destroy it. And Lot is running with his family. Now, he's gone. Listen, y'all, when desperate times come, you run. You hope your wife is with you. But he was gone. He was gone. And she should have been there. But she, Bible says, but she looked back. The Hebrew text said she looked, no, it says she looked back behind her, which means, the text means she actually turned and went back. And so she got caught in that destruction. So listen, y'all, don't let your mind, fiery darts, anything prevent you from going forward. Don't let these things take your focus away. Say, Lord, help me to let nothing take my focus off of you. Don't let distractions, or the old folks used to say, don't let nothing turn you around. Mm-hmm. Remember that phrase? All right, let's go on. Now, affirmations. We're going to do three affirmations today. Hope you'll develop your own. The power of affirmation is the power of your faith. And we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, and since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. All right, so the spirit of faith isn't just believing in something. The devil believes, Peter said, and trembles, or James said that. But the spirit of faith is this. I believed and therefore I spoke it. It's not that we speak things and hocus pocus, you know, abracadabra. It's not just words like that. It is the reality that things I believe, really believe, I'll express those things in my life through my words and through my actions. And that's what faith, you know, faith is working when you not only believe it, but you speak it, you say it, not for people to be impressed, to help your own mind connect with the reality of what God is doing. So we also believe and we therefore speak. So let me give you this. With the positive power of affirmation, here's 3 points. An affirmation is a positive assertion. What is an affirmation? Yeah, you're asserting something that's positive. Because you know how this works. When we are in difficulty, in distress, when our mood is going the wrong way, we tend to assert negative things. Stuff like, you know, nobody likes me. I like you. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we say things like, this always happens to me. So that's what happens when distraction happens, things go on, and that we begin to assert negative things. So turn it around. Do a positive affirmation. Second, an affirmation is a short statement that can help brighten your outlook. Say that. An affirmation is a short statement that can help brighten my outlook. Yeah. I'm not talking about lying. You know, people think he's just lying. No. We give example from Paul's life. No, you can actually have a very bad circumstance going on, and you choose to find the good that God is doing in you, in the midst of. As the Bible says, give thanks. Not for everything, in everything give thanks. In the middle of it. Rather, Winston Churchill said, I'll use a different word. He says, when you're going through Hades, keep going. All right, third, affirmation is a sign of self-respect and self-awareness. I'm not saying self-love and conceit, just self-respect. You know, God said, love your neighbor as yourself. You know what you can't do? If you hate yourself, you can't love your neighbor. You don't respect yourself, you don't respect anybody else. So self-respect, you're made in God's image and likeness. You're Imago Dei. You're God's child. Even every person, saved or unsaved, is still Imago Dei, made in God's image and likeness. So have that sense of self-respect and self-awareness. All right, affirmation number one. Say this, say, I press on. I lay hold on that for which Jesus laid hold on me. Amen. That's what Paul said in the text. So Paul said, I haven't attained all, not all that, but I'm going to lay hold on that for which Christ laid hold on me. An example I always give you is NFL draft. Yesterday I watched the Colts play. Who would they play? Is it Buffalo Bills? Okay. I wanted to see this young man, Anthony Richardson, the rookie quarterback that they drafted. You know, and see, this happened back when Peyton Manning was drafted. You know, he hadn't played one game of football NFL level. And so the team, the Colts, drafted, lay hold on Peyton Manning to help them lay hold on championship later. And it worked out. It worked out that way. So all these players that come into these teams, same thing. They hope the players help them out. They lay hold on, they draft them, apprehend them to help them apprehend something else. And same thing with us. You know, God laid hold on you. Say, God drafted me. Say, God drafted me. Yeah, God drafted you. First round. Everybody's first round. Because God knows what he wants from your life. So I watched Anthony. He played one quarter, the first quarter only, and I watched him. He was good. Made one mistake, you know, unexpected. But the one thing I did see, everybody's eyes bugged out when they saw this. When he had to run, put the ball down and run, a cornerback, safety, somebody ran up to him and got ran over by the quarterback. Dude is 6'4", 245 pounds. And boy, so they all said, okay, now this is what, he can throw the ball. Yeah, he can pass it. He can hand the ball off. You know what I'm saying? But if you have to, he'll run it and run over you. The Colts hope that this young man helped the Colts do better this year. All right. And my point, though, is your affirmation is that I'm pressing on. I'm going to lay hold of that for which Jesus drafted me. Whatever God has in his divine mind and purpose for me, I intend to go for it. I'm pressing on. Why do you press on? You don't press on just for another paycheck, a new car, whatever. No, you press on to do God's will. Say, I press on to do God's will. And Paul faced many extraordinary challenges. And yet, in these words, he's showing us how he focused. We say you want to learn how to focus. Now, focus, you know what focus is. Focus is when you have a camera and you want to have a sharp picture. The person in front have a sharp image of that person who is in that picture. But now, cheap cameras, cheap lenses focus on everything. Now, I know these new phones, they'll make you think they're focusing, and some of them do. Most is just a trick where the software just makes what's behind you out of focus. But here's the thing about it. When you're focusing, you want to pay specific attention to something or someone in that frame. At the same time, you want to defocus. Say defocus. That is, you want to take focus off of something else. Now, I saw a picture recently where it's a picture of somebody, but there was a construction crane coming out of their head. Yeah, they're posing, and a construction crane is coming out of their head. Now, it wasn't actually that. The crane was way behind the person. Follow me? But the way the picture was framed up, here's the person's head, and there's the crane. So what you want to do is, of course, reposition the person, but a good camera can actually throw the whole background out of focus. So then, in your thinking, in your life, as you're training your mind in these things, it's important to choose what to focus on and to choose what to defocus on. That's a word too. Focus is a word. Defocus is a word. Sometimes it's probably more important to defocus than focus sometimes. Because the thing you're looking at is only one thing you want to see. But a whole lot of stuff is clamoring for your attention. Say, I will focus. I will defocus. That's part of affirmation number one. Now, Paul said this. Again, Paul faced many challenges, and what he faced would drive many of us to despair. But here is Paul's clear statement of focus and defocus. 1 Corinthians 4 and 17. Paul said, for our light affliction. Now, if you knew Paul's circumstance, he just called it light. It was not light. It was heavy duty. But he said, this light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, that's defocus, but at the things which are not seen. How do you not look at what you see? That makes no sense. How do you not look at the things which are seen? He's not talking about physical eyesight, but about focus, about what you put your mind on. You can see stuff and choose to not regard it as important or essential or threatening. He says, but then worse, how do you look at things you can't see? That seems even more nonsensical. Well, with the eye of faith, with the purpose of God. When you have purpose, you're seeing purpose more than the circumstances. See, I see purpose more than the circumstances. Mm-hmm. Now, listen, y'all, obviously we see stuff, we experience things. This is where the test is. This is where we learn how to avoid distraction, how we learn to focus in distracting times. When your eyes are on the prize, you don't let anything change your focus. For example, there are some races where, like foot races, where, I mean, like steeplechase, you know, they're going to run no matter what. They're going to run in the rain. You know, they'll run through water. You know, just keep going, keep running. If it's hot, if it's cold, just keep going. And because because our eyes are not on the conditions during the race. Our eyes are on the finish line or the prize that awaits. Same thing for us. So then Paul said, he said that for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Wow, love this. It's the essence of living a life of faith where you're clear about what God is doing, what the word says. You see it in your heart. And so that, but the things you do see, the conditions around you are temporary. You know, we have, this is a, you know, Indiana's full of all kind of weather. We've had all kind of weather. My wife and I were at home. It was a calm, it was a nice day, and a power went out. No storm, no wind. And the power went out. I'm like, wow. Usually, you know, when the wind blows and, you know, all that, you expect things to happen. And the power, it came back on about 2 hours later. But it's interesting how when circumstances happen, you know, we didn't think, oh, my God, we've lost power. We're going to die. We're going to, stuff in the fridge are going to spoil. And, you know, the mind wants to go there. We knew. And I thank God AES, Elder Owens works for them. Whoever they are, they went around there and fixed that whole thing. See, there are things I did not see the people who repaired the problem. All I know is they're unseen, but they fixed it. Amen. So learn to focus on things you don't see. Learn to have faith in God. Trust God. Like again, we said earlier, the Bible says, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. I'm not saying you won't feel it. You know, but don't faint, don't fall out.
Amen.
Don't overreact to it. Amen. Now, what did Paul do here? What Paul did was Paul reframed the situation. Say reframe. What it means is this. He didn't deny he was going through hard times. He was stoned and left for dead, shipwrecked. All this stuff happened to Paul. But he framed it according to his faith in God. So, for example, if you go out anywhere to take pictures, you can get a good picture anywhere if you frame it a certain way. You can be in the worst looking part of town. But if you frame up something, like you can frame the flowers in the pot in the ghetto. You know what I mean? Frame the flower pot. Get a good picture out of it. Or just, you know, trees in the sky. If you frame it a certain way, you'll see it. You can appreciate it more if you frame it better. See, in our world, people frame all the worst things. So when you're going through challenges in your life, do what Paul did. Frame it up. This light affliction, but for a moment. I mean, it's been like 10 days now, but it's a moment. You know what I'm saying? It's a moment. It's a moment. He said, it's working for me. The trouble works for me, even in the trouble. Didn't he also say in Romans that all things work together for good? For those who love God and are called according to what? Purpose. Eyes on a prize. When your eyes on a prize, can't nothing really hurt you. Things only end up helping you. All right, move on. More here. Affirmation number two. Say this. Say, I do not allow the past to adversely affect my future. I reach for the things that are ahead. Say that. I reach for the things. Let's say it again all together. I do not allow the past to adversely affect my future. I reach for the things that are ahead. That's what Paul said in verse 13. That I don't count myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, I forget the things which are behind. He don't forget everything, but the bad things. In his context, the old sinful life, he chose to forget those things. And simultaneously, I'm reaching forward to things which are ahead. Now, let me say this to you. We study history. And don't think he's talking about don't know history, don't read history. No, we actually need history to learn history so that we will understand where we came from, what conditions, well, the point's right here on the slide. We study history to know the lessons and understand foundations. Very important. And for a lack of learning, a lack of really miseducation, the term we use, people are actually being taught the wrong things on purpose. They get a wrong view of history. And that can affect your functioning today. If you don't understand history correctly, you have a wrong or a poor foundation for today. So Paul wrote this in Romans 15 and 4. He says, "For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope." That's scriptural history. So we read Old Testament not to do the things that are in there, all of them, but we do what we read to learn from the past. And a part of history sometimes is learning what not to do. Right. What not to do. In addition to what you should do. So here's the point I make to you here. So do not allow negative things from the past to pull you down. Say, I won't allow negative things from my past to pull me down. You know why? Because the past does not exist. Folk live like sometime what they experience is still with them today. It's not. Well, the effects may be, but the actual thing that happened is not here today. It's in the past. And it's sometimes difficult because, again, our mind is so fruitful. Our mind can imagine anything. So put your mind in a place where you accept the fact that the past doesn't exist. When God forgives you, he sends your sins to the bottom of the sea. The sea of forgiveness. Even God doesn't remember your past, your sins. He doesn't want to. So it's hard to conceive, but God chooses not to hold your past up in front of you today. So why do you do it? It's a fiery dart. It's a fiery dart from the wicked one. Or unhealthy people in your life. There are people who can't let go of the old version of you. This is me today. This is the 2023 version of Brian Hudson. There are folks who take me all the way back to 1978, 1980. You know, there are folks, I got old friends, when I go back, you know, it's kind of fun to touch that for a second. But, you know, now, okay, now stop. That's enough. You know what I'm saying? We ain't kids no more. We were 18 years old. I mean, it's okay to reminisce now. You know, I get that. For a minute. Reminisce for 1 minute. Minutes up. I'm done. Because the past doesn't exist. You got the point. All right, affirmation number 3. My eyes, well, read with me. My eyes are on the prize. My prize is... I missed the word the purpose. All right. So read it correctly with me. My eyes are on the prize. My prize is the purpose and call on my life in Christ. Amen. So my eyes on the prize, and my prize is the purpose and call, real call of God on my life in Christ. That's the whole sentence. Okay. So then, according to Scripture, what Paul said, the reason he was accounting himself as not having attained all, but laying hold of that for which Christ laid hold of him. The whole reason for that was for him to have his eyes on the prize and a point that my life today is for the purpose of God. The purpose and call of God includes a lot of stuff. It's not that, you know, you're afraid of, oh, okay, I'm going to serve God, have no more fun. What are you talking about? I'm telling you, you're going to have more fun when you serve God. You'll go, you'll have more money. You'll go further. Have more enjoyable experiences. I know for a fact I'm doing way better than I would have done had I not served Christ. Matter of fact, I'd be dead. Honestly, frankly, I'd be dead without Jesus. I mean, I was that kind of crazy. Some of y'all would just bump along and make it through. No, I was way too crazy to survive without Jesus. So then, our eyes on the prize. So I won't allow then the past circumstances, old versions of myself, to hinder me going forward in God. So then allow Jesus, the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit to develop the kind of quality in your life that allows you to focus on what is important and defocus everything else. Please do that. Now, Jeremiah, I'm finishing with Jeremiah here. Talk about him for a moment. Now, Jeremiah was a young man, young prophet. God called him. He was in a very difficult time in Israel's history. So Jeremiah had a problem with his seeing that affected his view of himself and his purpose. So God had to build quality focus, like a good lens, into Jeremiah to help him see clearly. Now I'm going to jump through some scripture here. I'm going to kind of go through a little fast here. So Jeremiah chapter 1, I'm going to highlight this, save time. But God spoke to Jeremiah. And he said, I called you before you were born. I sanctified you. I called you, Jeremiah. But then Jeremiah said, verse 6, Lord, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak for I am a youth. I'm too young. That's an excuse we make sometimes when we're young. I'm too young. I began pastoring at 25 years old. 25 years old. I was already pastoring the church. Began pastoring. See? So I understand this because people make you understand and treat you like you're too young to understand. You're too young to know. I'd be like, well, watch me. Watch God. Because I read this scripture a long time ago. So then, but his first reaction was, Lord, I'm too young. All right, go on here. Verse 7. God said, do not say I am a youth. You know what God won't do? He won't listen to you. Talking about what you can't do. He don't care. Now, just stop and think now. Think. It was God called you when you were young. So God knew whatever you had when he called you, he would use it. He'd make it work. So don't tell God what he already knows. Amen. So he said, now you're going to go, you shall go to all to whom I send you. All right. Next verse here. Look at verse 9. He says, so God said, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. Jeremiah, I put my word in you. My purpose, I put it in you. And I have this day set you over nations to do all this work. And then it says in verse 11, after God dealt with him, because the chapter began with God asking Jeremiah, what did he see? He wasn't clear about what he saw. But then in verse 11, he came back and said, now, Jeremiah, what do you see? After God helped him. See, God always check on your vision. What's the state of your vision? What's the state of your focus? God will always come around and find out, where's your focus? How good is your focus? What do you see now? And then it says here in verse 11, latter part of verse 11, verse 12 says, and I said, I see a branch of an almond tree. Now, y'all, listen, y'all, don't get focused on the branch of the almond tree. It's not what that means. It's the fact he saw something that God wanted him to see. He says, I see this branch. And God said, okay. Then the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I am ready to perform my word. Listen, y'all, until you see well, God won't perform for you. There's no need to. He'll waste, He'll waste the grace. He'll waste the resources if we're not clear, if we don't see. But when we see, well, God is ready to perform his word. Amen, somebody? Hallelujah. Let that sink in, y'all. It's all about how we focus and defocus. It's about avoiding distraction in maintaining focus in these distracting times. Last slide here I'm going to give you. First question is, what does God want you to see? Think about that. Because again, the world is telling you what they want you to see. People, friends, family, everybody's saying, you should see this, you should see that. Second, what are items and areas of your life that require focus? Third, what are items and areas in your life that require defocus? But I really believe this is a word from God for us today. And I pray that you will keep your eyes on the prize of your purpose, of your calling. I pray you will maintain focus in distracting times. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Well, give God some praise if you're blessed today. Praise him. Bless him.